Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
G'day, legends. Welcome back to the Rugby League Guru Podcast. As you know, we had our rapid review that dropped earlier this morning and last night on YouTube. We went through the first six games of round seven. We're going to go through the last two games now. Had a couple of blowout scores here. The Canterbury Bulldogs, 36 over the Newcastle Knights, 12. The Cronulla Sharks, 42 points over North Queensland Cowboys, 6. Just a rapid review, obviously, here, guys. We'll go through quickly our thoughts, and then you'll get our deeper analysis of this game on Bloke in a Bar, which I'm about to head into in the next hour or so. But the Canterbury Bulldogs, 36 points to 12 over the Newcastle Knights. We'll start with Canterbury. Wow, what a turnaround over the last few weeks. It really has been incredible. I thought this was Reid Marnie's best game that I've seen him play for the club. He just looked like he was in control the entire time. He wasn't trying to overplay his hand. He came up with some really, really nice plays during this game. Obviously got Simbin late, which I get, but I don't really give a flying fuck about that. Some of his deception around the ruck was really, really good. I was very impressed with Reid Marnie, and yeah, really picked apart a Newcastle Knights side that has been lacking through the middle, in my opinion, the entire season. Even when they went on that big run last year, still lacking through the middle at certain points. And yeah, I thought Reid Marnie executed really well. Bronson Zerio, I'm so happy to see him back in the league. You know, you do the crime, you do the time, all that sort of stuff, 100%, no doubt about that. But I just find him so entertaining to watch, and, you know, putting him and Fox out on that edge, I just love watching them do their thing. So entertaining. And the right edge as well, Stephen Crichton and Jacob Kiraz, sensational as well. Came up with some very nice plays there. I think every centre and winger scored for Canterbury. Yep, Kiraz, Zeri, Stephen Crichton and Josh Adokata all crossed the line. Connor Tracy, though, he's the one that I'm so happy to see him finally get an opportunity at fullback. He was, if they weren't going to play Stephen Crichton at fullback, he was our first choice fullback in the preseason. And I understand he had an injury during the preseason, so maybe that forced their hand to go with Blake Taff. And despite Blake Taff actually playing some really good footy over the last month, I still wholeheartedly believe that Connor Tracy is the best fullback at the club, and he is the best option for Cam Serrato and Canterbury. I just think that when I watch Blake Taff anyway, he puts himself in good spots, but he just doesn't quite execute off the back of it. Whereas Connor Tracy, he's a former half, he's a former 5'8", the way that he's able to just pull the right rein at the right moment. I've always been very, very high on Connor Tracy, and he would definitely be my first choice fullback moving forward. And you know what, the more I watch of Canterbury and the more I watch of Stephen Crichton, I understand why they played him at centre, and I'm sort of willing to admit that they made the right call as well. So full credit to Canterbury. I thought Matty Burton, he was everywhere. He's going to really start to push for sort of State of Origin selection. Obviously, there's no 5'8 really jumping out of the ground at the moment. So Matt Burton, he's going to be an interesting little prospect the closer we get. Hutcho did his job. I think that, you know, I've said it before, I think they can be successful with Hutcho at halfback. I will say, though, that when Hayward jumped on in the second half, late in the second half, and jumped into that seven role, just that extra yard of pace, they did look really good. But I still think they can make it work with Hutcho. But there might be better options at the club, and if so, more than happy to see them and give them a crap. crack. Sammy Hughes crashed over the first try. How good. Isn't Sammy Hughes one of the great Supercoach roller coasters of all fucking time? So hard to keep up with what on earth is going on with this fella. But he's a good player. There's no doubt about it. I thought Josh Curran played, I think, 65 odd minutes, got through a stack of work once again, as he always does. I thought Jamin Salmon was really good defensively. I'm just, how many tackles? Yeah, fuck. I thought he got through a heap of work. 41 tackles, zero missed from Jamin Salmon. So very, very impressive. And Bailey Haywood, who came off the bench. We saw him in a trial last year, at the start of this season. I was very impressed with him there. Really, really liked him. Scored a try. Obviously, a great chase off a kick there. Didn't have a heap of running meters or whatever, but made 43 tackles. Missed six, to be fair, but did get through a lot of work at Bailey Haywood. So, one to keep an eye on there. I still think he's got a big, big future in our game. And good to see Maxi King running around for Canterbury again. So, ticked plenty of boxes. The Doggies there definitely heading in the right direction and showing plenty of grit. And it was great to see that grit actually turn into a victory, and you know, a pretty fucking good victory. That's a top eight side from last year, and I understand KP got injured during the game and whatnot, but the Canterbury Bulldogs, in my opinion, were well and truly on top by the time that happened. There was a bizarre little incident after the game with Reid Marnie and of course the one and only Jack Hetherington. I don't really know exactly what played out here, so I can't comment. I couldn't really tell if they were joking or not, but knowing Jack Hetherington and how fired up he was on the field, I'm not sure if he was. So pretty wild times, but once again, you got to have a few screws loose to be able to make it into the NRL, and to be a front row forward, you got to have plenty of screws loose. But Jack Hetherington could probably do with a tightening here or there. Let's move to the Newcastle Knights, who made changes before this game. Obviously, Dane Gagai ruled out, so Tuala moved to right centre, which allowed Greg Marsu to go back to left wing. The other big change, though, was seeing Tyson Gamble come back into the side. That really surprised me for Jack Cogger. We're now, you know, round seven done and dusted. I think that is the third halves pairing that the Newcastle Knights have had. Never a good sign for a footy side, and no shock to me that they look a little bit disjointed and whatnot. I know that these two boys played together last year and whatnot, but so this constant chopping and changing, it just can't be good for the club. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a bit surprised that Cogger was the one to fall out of this side. I actually thought Cogger had been really fucking good. So yeah, bizarre little situation there, and it's sort of hard to get your head around what's going on up there. I don't quite know how the New South Wales Cup went. Didn't get a chance to watch it, obviously. But obviously Jack Cogger went down there, and they got absolutely smashed, 52 points to 6. Holy shit. When you think about the last time that these two clubs played, I think Newcastle absolutely gave it to Canterbury, and I think reserve grade got beat by 30-odd or something. So a huge turnaround here for first grade to win by, was it 24 points, and for reserve grade to win by 46 or whatever. Very, very impressive. Look, for Newcastle, just all out of sorts, weren't they? It was good to see Greg Marsu back on the left wing, got through a heap of work. Obviously, the KP injury really, really hurts him, though, as far as, you know, Supercoach points and whatnot. I'm just not sure when you take KP off this field. Fuck, Newcastle look very, very average. But yeah, Greg Marsh, you got through a heap of work. Outside of that, they didn't have a single outside back hit 100 metres. Bradman Best got 107, to be fair, but I think he ran 30 metres on the last play of the game for a try there. So yeah. The forwards just got absolutely bullied through the middle. Have a look at this. Saifidi, 90 metres. Leo Thompson, 83. Lucas, 93. Kaipis Paul, 81. Adam Elliott, 56. Phoenix Crossland, 66. Dan Saifidi, 61. Jack Hetherington, 55. They didn't have a single forward crack over 100 metres. They only had one get over 90. That's a bit of a nightmare. And when you only have Bradman Best and Marshy were the only two players to run for over 100 metres, and Bradman Best cracked it on the last play with a line break. Very, very disappointing performance from the Newcastle Knights middles, and despite when they're high-flying and everything, this is always the worry. Have they got the forward pack to compete with, you know, the top sides and whatnot? And there was a lot of points last year where they did, but there were still points last year where I thought the forward pack sort of got beat through the middle, but you had KP, who his brilliance was just able to get them home. This forward pack, they need a mirror to look into because they've got the ability there. With Leo Thompson, the two Saifidi boys, they've got the ability there. They're just not showing that underbelly. And when you have a look at Canterbury, all I've said all year is, fuck, they're lacking middles. They're in all sorts through the middles. They lose Chris Patolo early in this game. And they still just absolutely dominate through the centre third. It is wild. And this is a team that also had Bailey Hayward and Blake Taff on the bench. Yeah, very very worrying signs for the Newcastle Knights. They also lose Kalen Ponga, as we said. I'm not quite sure how long he's out for there. We'll stay tuned to updates and whatnot. But, yeah, I'm not even sure what they'll do there. They obviously moved Tyson Gamble back there. I don't think he's going to be a long-term option. Maybe Dane Gagai's the next big option. Maybe they can bring the young fella from England up to first grade. I'm honestly not quite sure what they're going to do here with this Newcastle Knights fullback spot. Gagai is probably my first pick if he is available. We'll see if he is or not. Obviously had Lockie Miller there last year. I'm not quite sure who's going to be the next man up. It might be like a David Armstrong, a Fletcher Sharp. I would love to see one of those young guys given an opportunity, but a pretty tough gig coming into first grade there. All right, let's have a look at the second game. We had the Cronulla Sharks, 42 points to 6 over the Cows. We'll start with the Sharkies. Obviously, a number of incredible performances here. I got to tell you, fuck, the Cowboys were disappointing. Just didn't get out of first gear. Just never got off the team bus, essentially. I thought Will Kennedy was fantastic. Obviously, scored a try, 150-odd metres, try assist, line break assist. He had almost 10 tackle breaks, 8 tackle breaks in this game. He was very good. Great to see Sammy Stonestreet score his first try in the NRL. An unreal moment there. Looks like a real player of the future, Sam Stonestreet. Got to talk about my boy, Ito. 212 run meters at center. Mate, the highlights will come, and when they do, Ito is going to put serious asses on seats. Ito has arrived in the NRL, and I think it's going to be one hell of a career. So strap yourself in and sit back and enjoy it. I thought Nico Hines is fucking tremendous. I think he had 7 from 7 goals in this game. He ran for 130 run meters. He had the 2 try assists. He had a line break assist, 3 tackle breaks. But I'll tell you what's impressed me most with Nico Hines this year. It's his defense. 31 tackles. He only missed 2 tackles in this game. So they went at him. You're not a halfback that just happens to make 31 tackles. If you're making 31 tackles at halfback, a team's trying to target you and they're trying to get at you, which is what a lot of teams, you know, obviously last year they had the Sharkies left edge to go at, but Nico Hines coming into this season would have been a big target for a number of sides, and I've spoken to guys in teams about this, and he definitely was, and he's improved his defense, so full credit to Nico Hines. Tommy Hazelton obviously scored his try, big bit of gear, Hazelton, a very, very good player. Britton Nicodoro, pretty quiet by his standards, I would say. That's what I remember anyway. Yeah, he only ran for 72 metres in this game, but I mean, sometimes when you win by that much, it sort of is what it is. Teague Wilton was strong, as he has been all year. So that was the Sharkies. A very, very good performance, dominant performance, absolutely gave it to the Cowboys. The Cowboys were awful, to be completely fair. Just the amount of errors they made and the amount of just dumb plays they came up with really, really hurt them. But the Sharkies, you've got to be there to put teams to the sword, and they certainly were in this one. For the North Queensland Cowboys, yeah, a very, very disappointing outing by them. And when you have a look through the run sheet, like, obviously Drinky, he made 4 errors, was far from a good game from Drinky, but he's a little bit similar to Reece Walsh in that you can sort of accept errors in his game. Outside of that, not 1,000 errors. Like, Val Holmes had 1, Valame had 1, Jordan McLean had 2, Chad had 1, Fine Fuiaki 1, Nanai 2. It was more so just when they made errors. They made really key errors at really poor moments that proved to be costly time and time again for the North Queensland Cowboys. My memory is gave away a lot of really key penalties as well in key moments that really hurt them. Look, as a whole, a very, very disappointing game for the North Queensland Cowboys, and really just didn't fire a shot. Never really looked in this game. Obviously, early, Scotty Drinkwater came up with an offload close to the sideline that led to a try, so that put him on the back foot straight away. But if you have a look at their outside backs, Drinky, 147 metres, Felt, 133, Val Holmes, 111, Chester, 120, Valame, 167, Dearden, 123, like, boys were trying. It just wasn't working out for them. And they're a little bit similar to the Newcastle Knights at the moment. They're a high-flying team and whatnot, but when you come up against good opposition and you really need to show your underbelly, that's where they're struggling a little bit at the moment. So you've got, Ruben Cotter and Reece Robson through the middle having a red-hot crack, but they can't do it all. They need blokes to come with them and help them, and they're just not getting it at the moment. Obviously, when you get done by 30-plus, but fuck, a lot of missed tackles in this side. When you have a look at, you know, Val Holmes 2, Tommy Chester 4, Valame 3, Dearden 3, Townsend 5, Reece Robertson missed a couple, Jason Tamalolo 3, Nanai 3, a lot of guys with multiple missed tackles, even guys coming off the bench, Neem, McIntyre 3, 4 missed tackles. Yeah, bit of a nightmare game for the North Queensland Cowboys, one that they would like to forget, and just a lot of real schoolboy-like errors as well, which I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Coach Toddy Payton make some real big changes this week, some sweeping changes to this side, and I'm not quite sure with the rest of their squad who they could go for here. You've obviously got, like, Valia that's not making the side at the moment. There's a couple of forwards up there. Younger guys that could be looking to get an opportunity. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you see some changes to the Cowboys squad heading into next week. And if you see the coach, Toddy Payton, make a real statement with his squad selection, don't be shocked by that either, because, yeah, they need to shake things up, because the Cowboys, they don't want to let this season get away from them. And as much as I imagine they're still in a reasonably good spot on the ladder, yeah, they're eighth on the ladder. It's just starting to get away from them, though. They've got, of all the top eight teams, they've got by far and away the most points conceded by some distance. Yeah, have a look at the team that's conceded the second most points in the top eight right now. It's the Manly Seagulls, 156. The Cowboys are on 191. When you have a look at how many points the Cowboys have conceded, it's actually the second worst in the league. Only the South Sydney Rabbitohs have conceded more points, and they've only conceded 5 more points than them. So pretty alarming signs there for the Cowboys. Even the Titans, and I know they had a bye in that, but the Titans, they've only conceded 180 points this year. The Cowboys are on 191. So defensively, a big, big worry there for the North Queensland Cowboys that they need to get sorted out ASAP. All right, guys. Guys, that is our rapid review for the final two games. If you want to listen to the first 6 games, it is already live earlier on the Rugby League Guru podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.